Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturers of gas appliances, present.
Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel with Norma Talmadge, and by courtesy of Paramount Pictures, the guest appearance of America's favorite newlyweds, Jackie Coogan and Betty Grable, also the famous comedian Ben Blue, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child Josephine Starr.
Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood.
Hello, Jessel, 30 minutes in Hollywood. Amy talking. Who? Mr. Jessel? Well, he's pretty busy right now. Well, he's in a bridge game and I don't like to call him. I don't think he's doing so well. Oh, wait a minute. Here he comes now in a barrel. Oh, Mr. Jessel!
Thank you.
Well, how did you do in the game, Mr. Jessel?
How did I do in the game? Did I put it over on those fellas, George Burns, Hoppo Marks, and Al Jolson? I fixed those fellas.
Oh, you did, huh?
I should say so. Remind me to tell Mrs. Jessel that Jolson has a mortgage on our house. Hello? Hello, Mom? Yeah, how do you feel? What's going on? You getting ready for your trip out here? Well, that's swell. You going to drive? Well, how? You have no car. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Klutz are driving to Detroit, and they're going to drop you off in California. I see. Send me a postal card from Sweden. Say, Mom, you're going to be crowded in that little car that the Klutzes have. It'll be crowded, but three can get in comfortably. Well, what about Willie? You're going to tie him on to the running board. I see. Well, what does he say? He don't care? He just wants to make rhythm. Well, let him.
I wanna make rhythm, don't wanna make music. Just wanna go da 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 da.
I've got no desire to carry a Stradivarius.
But there's no limit of pom-pom in your pom-pom.
Oh, Mama, I want to make rhythm.
We want to make music.
Just want to go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you ain't got rhythm.
Mr. Jessel, why don't you demonstrate?
Oh, you ain't got rhythm.
Show us how you swing and your rhythm, mate.
I want rhythm, I want rhythm, I want rhythm, and I don't want anything more. Mama, I don't like a trumpet, I don't care for trombone, I'd rather hear bass. Mama, I don't like a clarinet, I don't care for saxophone, no, I'd rather hear drums. To try to convince me I like a melody.
Oh, you prefer the old beat of a tom-tom.
Oh, Mama, I want to make rhythm. Don't want to make music. Just want to go ya-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya-da-ya.
Oh, Mama, all I want is rhythm.
Hello, Jessel. My name is Ben Blue.
Well, of all things. Well, Benny, whatever made you run on like that? I was going to say famous Paramount comedian. I had a nice introduction for you.
Oh, I just couldn't wait. George, this is a thrill of a lifetime.
Well, Ben, it isn't quite as important as that.
Yes, it is. That's the title of my next picture, which opens next week all over the country. No change in prices. Smoking permitted.
All right, now, wait a minute. It's a radio program, not a trailer for what's coming next week.
Well, you promised me.
I know I promised. I said we'd mention Paramount. You don't have to give a whole Gettysburg address. Ben Blue, you're some dope, believe me, I'll say. But I got a scene, a swell scene, and a great part in it for you. I wonder if you'd help me play it.
Gee, I don't know what to say, George.
I don't know why. You got a script there. If you just look at it, you'll see. You say, I'll only be too glad to, George, with feeling, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'll only be too glad, George.
There you are. Here's your part. You got it right there.
I just dropped one of the biggest laughs.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the desert now, a tiny cafe 20 miles from nowhere, owned by Nick Chickapopoulos. He is proprietor, chief cook, and bottle washer. His only aide is Betty. Betty, who has come to the little desert cafe to get away from life. I'll play the part of Nick. Mr. Blue will play a tourist who is passing through, and Betty will be played by the charming young Paramount star, Miss Betty Grable. The title of our play is The Petrified Tourist. Quiet, everybody. Action. This is a take.
I hate to see my restaurant close up. I got to close up if business don't get better. Do-do-do-do.
Ah, Betty, I want to tell you something. That was good old days when I heard that song. That was good days for all of my people. Landis was a wrestling champion. Nick the Greek was gambling fool. He went all the time. Scooter's brothers, they own all the theaters. Ah, those were days. And Aristotle was a much bigger man than Parker Carcass. Oh.
Monte Gamarago, Pusto Segapo.
Just whatever made you move way out here in the middle of the desert where there's not a soul around for miles?
I tell you, kid, I used to have a shop across the street from Empire State Building, New York. Used to hear people say, look at that building. Years ago, my grandfather could buy the whole corner for $220.40 and no tax. Then I go to Chicago and see Michigan Boulevard. Hear fellas say, my grandfather, he could buy a whole Michigan Boulevard, $220.40 and no tax. And I come to Los Angeles, see people say, look at this Paramount Studio property. My grandfather could buy the whole property $225 years ago and no tax. I make up my mind I got to go someplace, get the same opportunity like everybody's grandfather, you know? So I buy this whole desert here, $220.40, and I'm going to see if Empire State Building, Michigan Boulevard, or the Paramount Studio is going to jump up here, you know?
Nick, there's a customer.
How do you say?
There's a customer, the first one in weeks.
Shh, don't make no noise. Maybe you go away.
Come in, sir.
Say, it's a snappy little joint you have here. I'd like something to eat. What kind of soup have you got?
Well, we got a consomme.
How do you make it?
Oh, we just turn on the faucet and it come out, that's all. What else do you want, mister?
Well, I'm pretty hungry. I'll have some stuffed derma,
mm-hmm.
Some matzo ball soup,
mm-hmm.
Some petros.
Petros, yes.
Tea and lemon,
mm-hmm.
And a piece of cheesecake, double-decker.
Oh. What do you think, Yana, gypsy tea room? Say, this is the middle of the desert.
Then I suppose all I can have is the sandwiches here.
Hey, Betty. You hear that one? Say again, will you please?
Well, all I can get is the sandwiches here.
By God, that's a good one, kid. That stinks.
What can I get to eat?
Well, we got a nice dinner, vegetables, and we'll finish to give you a nice and smaller demi-tutti.
No Porsche?
Oh, you said it, kid.
How many girls in the court?
We got one girl.
Only one?
Well, I had a 16, but I always did the same step, and it got very monopolist to me, you know?
Have you got a hostess?
Hostess? Oh, sure. How do you like a hostess? On a half shell or you want a stew with a cream? What kind do you like?
You're so silly. I don't want an oyster.
What do you want?
I want a girl to sit with.
Okay, Betty, you talk to this broken-down gentleman. Go ahead.
Ooh. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I think I've seen you someplace before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think. Did you ever play third base for the Cubs? I know I've seen you.
Well, never mind that. Let's have a drink.
Are you buying?
Well, what's the matter? Haven't you got any money?
Oh, yeah. I have quite a stipend. I have a pretty penny.
Well, how much?
Well, I have in the neighborhood of $16. In the vicinity, I have about $8.
Well, where have you got it?
Oh, I have it scattered around. Banks, securities, loans.
Have you got any on you?
Oh, yeah, I have quite a smattering. Normally.
How much?
Oh, about $400.
$400?
Oh, $400, roughly.
Roughly?
Yeah, roughly. When you smooth out, I have a dollar.
You have a dollar? Hey, waiter!
You want to know something? I could learn to come home early to a girl like you. How's your chances to hold your hand?
Oh, I'm surprised. I thought you were a gentleman.
Oh, no, sir. I'm out for a good time. I'm a whippersnapper. Look, I'd like to ask you something, but I'm sort of scared.
What?
Oh, I'm just scared.
Go ahead and ask me.
Sure you won't get mad?
Of course not.
Do you want to play duck off the rock? Say, I was only kidding. How about the music? Have you got a radio?
Yep.
Will you turn it on?
Now, Gene Lester, radio's guide, singing cameraman, picks up a sheet of music.
Gene Lester, do you know him?
I know him very well.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
I
get you hungry for dinner at 8. I like the theater, but never come late. I never bother with people I hate.
That's why the lady is a trap.
I don't like crap games with barons and earls. Won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls. Won't dig the dirt with the rest of the girls.
That's why the lady is a trap.
I like the free phrase, wind in my hair, life without care. I'm broke, it's so. Hey, California, it's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Hey,
what's going on here?
Everybody, Betty, you, Robinos, everybody hide. Fella wants to muscle in this place. I like to lose $19 a week on the place he wants to muscle in.
Everybody, stick him up. I'm the desert rat, two gun oasis.
Okay, Asus, you got us back to back.
Hey, let me put away your shot at him.
Put away that gun.
Yes, what's the matter? You got a suicide complex?
Not me. Hand me that looking glass.
What are you aiming that gun at the floor for?
Don't worry. I'll get him on the upbeat.
By Landis, you got him. What kind of shot was that?
That was a three-cushion ricochet.
Oh.
Say, who are you?
Oh, just call me Six Gun Blue. How much do I owe you?
Well, the Six Gun Blue, you owe me nothing. It's on the house.
Here's your coat.
Change.
Oh, that's a fine tip you gave me.
Yeah, that's a fine coat you gave me.
Say, tell me, stranger, what are you doing out here on the desert?
Well, you see that field of cactus out there?
Yeah, I see the field of cactus.
Well, 20 years ago, my grandfather could have bought that for $220. 40 just... Oh.
I hate to see my restaurant clean up.
Thank you, Ben Blue.
With all your Christmas giving, don't forget to give yourself and family a gift that will be used and appreciated each day throughout the years to come. Give yourself a beautiful Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas range or electric refrigerator, the finest ever built. Your Gaffers and Sattler dealer will be glad to explain how easy it is for you to have one of these modern gas ranges or electric refrigerators on terms to fit your budget. May we again remind you, this Christmas, instead of a lot of little impractical gifts that are so soon forgotten, give yourself and your family a Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas range or electric refrigerator. They will be in daily use and remembered long after the Yuletide has been forgotten.
George Jessel, 30 minutes in Hollywood, and now we bring you our pint-sized Petrozzini, Josephine Starr. The little girl is going to sing the famous bell song from the opera Lakme. Just think of this, folks. This is a 7.5-year-old child. Oh, Gentlemen, some years ago, a little man with funny feet and a cane and a mustache and a derby flashed across the motion picture horizon and overnight became the idol of millions. You know who it was, Charlie Chaplin. During his career, he made a picture called The Kid, and in this picture, a new star was born, the most lovable child actor of his generation. It seems that all this happened but yesterday, and yet today he is a man. An old married man of 2 weeks. But to me, who remember that I met him in his cradle, he's still the kid. We present him now, Jackie Coogan.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, George.
Jack, you've grown up to be a wonderful young man. Just think, you started with a chaplain, you got mixed up with a chaplain a couple of weeks ago, huh? And I know Betty is proud of you, as you no doubt are of her.
Well, thanks for me and Betty. Betty and me.
Now you can be sure he's married. Oh. Come on, Jack. Tell us all about the courtship and the honeymoon at all, huh?
Well, that isn't in the script I have here, George.
I know, but there's no formula to this program, you see. Tell us about your honeymoon. Sure as Tom Moore says, there's nothing so sweet in life as love's young dream. Oh, go ahead.
Well, we had a wonderful honeymoon. We went to Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm. That's the cue, everybody. Niagara Falls. Is that place still running? That'll kill that gag for the rest of the season on everybody's program, you know?
George, Niagara Falls is marvelous. It's the most wonderful place I ever saw in my life. What a sight.
Mm.
I wouldn't have missed it for anything in the world. If I live 1,000 years, I'll never forget our honeymoon at Niagara Falls.
What did you do, go over the falls in a barrel? Incidentally, where's your little wife? Where's Betty?
Oh, she'll be here soon. She stopped in to look at a little coat she wants to get.
Well, Jack, now look, you don't have to quote me, but now is the time to put your foot down, see? First thing you got to do is give Betty a little lecture on economy.
I did.
You did, huh? What did she say?
I have to give up smoking.
Uh-huh. Look, the reason why they don't cook the rice that they throw at the bride and groom is to make them realize that married life is no pudding, see? Remember, the husband must always wear the trousers. That's mm-hmm. bunk about marriage being 50-50. No,
yeah.
Sir. Got to be 80-20.
Ooh.
Make her realize, Jack, that you're the boss. That's what I did. Oh, yes. When I got married, I said I'd be the boss, so I'd know the reason why. Shh. Quiet. Here comes the reason why. Norma Talmadge. Folks, that wasn't any sound man's effect that you heard. That kiss was on the square. That's how we get along. Honey, here's Jack Coogan.
Well, Jack, what a handsome boy you've grown up to be. Or maybe it's because you're standing next to George.
See, son? You gotta have the whip hand all the time, you see. Norma, did you know Jack's just been married? You did know that, didn't you?
Certainly I know that. Where is Betty?
Boy, she stepped out, Miss Talmadge, to look at a mink coat.
Oh, no, she didn't. I met her and told her to look at a sable coat.
You see, Jackie, that's not good, no. Sable is much more expensive than mink is. So, honey, what made you suggest that Betty get a sable coat?
Oh, I just thought it rhymes. It sounds so cute. Betty Grable has a sable. You know, like a song.
Roses in December. You're stuck, kid. Oh.
Yes, I see. Gee, I wish Betty'd get here.
Oh, Jack.
Gee. There she is now.
Yeah, now you be cute, too. Don't answer right away, see?
Oh, Jack!
Now?
No, not yet. Make her answer.
What's the matter with you? Can't you hear?
Now, Jack, now.
Here I am, Betty.
Folks, Mrs. Coogan. Well.
Oh, Norma, dear, I bought it, and it's beautiful.
I knew you'd love it.
What is it, dear?
Honey, I saw the most beautiful sable coat, and you're just going to get it for me for a Christmas present, aren't you, dear?
Now's your chance. Put your foot down right now.
Well, Betty, you know, I've been thinking, and it doesn't seem to me that the way things are now...
Jack, has Mr. Jessel been talking to you about anything in particular?
Well, of course I was talking to him.
About what?
About what? About how lucky he is to be married to such a nice girl... How lucky I am to be married to you. How lucky everybody is to be married to each other. Like this, we were talking, and so talking.
What else did you say like this?
Like this, telling him, I told him, matrimonial things, it's got to be 50-50.
I don't like the look on your face.
She don't like that. What, am I supposed to be Robert Taylor all of a sudden?
I think after Jack promised Betty that coat, he should buy it for her.
Well, I can't afford it right now.
Well, you certainly can, and I think you're awfully mean.
Well, I'm no meaner than you.
Jack,
only
are you really... Look,
kids, don't you, please, don't. You
cut it out. Don't start fighting already. If you don't get it for her, Jack, you'll spend it some other way. That's right, Jack. If you don't, you know you'll only bet it on the horses. And I think betting on horses is wrong. Don't you, Norma? The way George does is.
The way George... I never do anything that suits you.
Well, I'm glad to hear you admit it.
I'm not admitting anything.
You never do.
Is that so? You suddenly made a different man out of me.
No, I didn't. You're still the same, day in and night out.
Oh, is that so?
Why
look, you've been picking on me.
Now, wait a minute.
Come in.
Oh, no,
sir,
please.
No.
Cut it out, will you, kid?
All right. It's all my fault, honey. All right.
No, George, it's my fault.
All right, 50-50. Betty, if Jackie likes his eggs turned over, turn them over. He wants to put rusty nails in his oatmeal, let him. I don't care.
And, Jack, if Betty wants to buy a new dress, let her. If she wants to comb her hair or if she wants to wear a bustle, let her.
That's right. And I'm serious about this, kid. There's nothing in this world that's greater than love and understanding. When the people quarrel, they throw it away. And it's pretty hard to find. I know a couple. They never quarreled. Never worried about any neighbors. Weren't jealous. They had little to wear and little to eat, but they were very, very happy because they lived for one another. He knew she was the only woman in the world for him, and she felt the same way about him. That's the way you two ought to be.
Mr. Jessel's right, Jack, and that's the way we're going to be.
You bet. Who is that wonderful couple?
Adam and Eve, children. Adam and Eve.
So, Jack and Betty, before you go, I'd like to say that the cast of this entire program takes this opportunity of congratulating you both on your marriage. Isn't that so, dear?
Of course, dear.
For once, she agrees with me, huh? And, kids, listen. I'm sure that all the listeners join us in wishing you two children every happiness. Thank you, Betty Grable and Jackie Coogan.
Christmas, when making up your gift list, remember those people who are without proper heating facilities for their homes. There may be friends and relatives who would suffer from inadequate heating at the first touch of cold weather. Think of the real cheer and warmth you would give by presenting them with a Gappers and Sattler circulating gas heater. These convenient and attractive heaters make practical gifts and may be purchased in a range of prices surprisingly low. If this year you give Gappers and Sattler circulating gas heaters as Christmas gifts, your family and friends will radiate with warm appreciation.
How do you like the show? Jackie Coogan has grown up. I should say he is, yes. You say a burglar broke in? Oh, Mrs. Zimmerman's house. He was a very polite burglar. What do you mean, a polite burglar? Oh, he took out his blackjack to hit Mr. Zimmerman on the head, and he asked him if he wanted one lump or two. Oh, well, that's a very good thing. You keep listening. Now I want to say something. Folks, on November 7th, urged by a sense of fairness and a respect for people in the amusement business, a business which I have served as faithfully as my humble talents have permitted me since I was a kid, I made a speech on this network condemning some radio gossipers for prying into private lives of the actors and actresses in Hollywood. I laid stress on the fact that whether these gossipers were telling the truth or merely rehashing rumors, that the actors and actresses were powerless to defend themselves. A great many newspaper editors and members of the clergy applauded this action. But better still, the majority of the radio gossipers themselves evidently agreed with me, for the programs that have followed have curtailed
practically every bit of gossip that would tend to make some player lose his or her job because of a public opinion clause that's in everybody's contract. Because of the curtailment of the hurtful gossip, I made one more short address, thanking the gossipers of the radio, and considered the issue closed. Since then, a great many people in all walks of life have seen fit to quote the views of this program in the newspapers. This, I thought, would definitely end the discussion. I was glad of it. The business of this program is to entertain, not to carry any torches. However, on Tuesday night, one of the most prominent of the Hollywood gossipers saw fit to reopen the issue in defense. He said that the motion picture studios wanted to make tin gods of their players, and that if the only thing that was heard about them was the stuff sent out by the publicity offices, that such sugar-coated speeches would cause audiences to lose their interest in Hollywood and its product. Well, with apologies to a great American, let's look at the record. People would lose interest, he said, without the things perhaps that the gossipers say about the players. Oh, they would they? But before there were any radio gossipers or any columnists, Charlie Chaplin and the young man you just heard on this program made a picture called The Kid that grossed close to $10 million. Jolson and the Singing Fool over $6 million. Talmadge and Smiling Sue over $5 million. The public don't need any innuendos, rumors, or travels into the private lives of these people to make them go to see something that was going to give them fine entertainment. No meritorious American product ever needed a besmirching note to get business in this country. The gossiper then continued and said that the private lives of the actors were as open to criticism as even the President of the United States and his family were. What an analogy, ladies and gentlemen. Supposing some fool did say something slurring about the President's private life, could the exhibitors get together and bar the President's pictures? Could somebody fire the President like the studio could be forced to do to an actor or actress? Why, it's absurd. Next, the gossiper suggested that the people, the public, are entitled to the inside of what the actors and actresses do after they take off their makeup or even between scenes. Vigorously, I refute this statement. We, the public, are only entitled to good performances, and we are entitled to be entertained every time we buy a ticket to go into a theater. But it is none of our business if so-and-so sleeps with his beard over the cover or tucks it underneath. And now a final word. As an American citizen whose father, mother, grandmother, and grandfather were born in the United States, and that's the gospel truth, I don't believe in any rigid censorship of any kind. I feel that if your pen slips, gentlemen, let the blot fall on the charter of your own conscience. And any defense of the looking over the transom gossip business is a lost cause. As lost a cause as defending the muscle racket, religious intolerance, or the bombing of Shanghai. Good night, Mom, and good night, ladies and gentlemen.
George Jessel's program with Norma Talmadge has presented the guest appearance of America's favorite newlyweds, Jackie Coogan and Betty Grable, through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. Also, the famous comedian Ben Blue. Next week, 30 Minutes in Hollywood will present the same galaxy of performers with Tommy Tucker and his orchestra and Amy Arnell, and will feature the guest appearance of the noted comedian of the screen, Polly Moran, and a return engagement of the famous St. Brendan's Boys Choir. Meet us then in George Jessel's office in Hollywood. The doors will be open at 3 p.m. 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, is a presentation of Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
Heard on this program were the selections Mama, I Want to Make Rhythm from Manhattan Merry-Go-Round, and The Lady of the Tramp from Babes in Arms. 30 Minutes in Hollywood comes to you through the facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.